Blog Talk Radio.
PGN family, thank you all for joining us tonight.
We're so grateful to be here once again. Prophetic Grace Network is a wonderful place to be connected to a wonderful family of people that have a zeal for God, that love Him, and that are truly striving to please Him. And so a whole group of imperfect people loving a perfect God. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
And so we're here, you know, consistently so that we can continue to hear from God and gather so that we can sharpen one another. And without further ado, I am one of your hosts, one half, Terrence.
And I'm your other half, Tanisha. And today is April 27th, it's 2022. It's 7:08 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are here. We're live. We're excited to hear what the Lord has to say. Again, we do this thing. We let God lead, and PGN is just an amazing network to be part of, like Terrence was saying, a group of believers. We love God. We are our authentic selves. We are here to edify and to speak the word of the Lord and to love on one another and to sharpen one another. And it's just a great place to be. And we're just excited to see what the Lord has to say tonight, as always.
As always, because God has spoken and He continues to speak. We just have to be where we can continue to hear. And today's scripture, today is stood out to me over in 1 John 5. 14, I'm going to read King James, and it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Confidence. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." I'm going to read that from the Amplified as well. My wife loves that.
Yeah.
I got everything highlighted in that.
I have it pulled up.
Yeah, I got it. I didn't realize that. Pretty much that whole chapter. All right, it says, verse 14, Amplified, it says, "This is the remarkable degree of confidence which we, as believers, are entitled to have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, that is, consistent with His plan and purpose, He hears us." And so we have to have confidence in going to the Lord. As believers, born again believers, we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we're covered in the blood of Jesus. The blood is what gives us the access to these scriptures. The blood is what covers, has us covered to give us the authority to bring this to manifestation, because our faith in God, we have to have confidence in Him. But us being joint heirs to the kingdom of God, it's our right. We have the right. And so the writer is saying that we can have confidence. So this is confidence. Mm-hmm. I got to go back to King James. Says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Anything that's lined up in the plan of God, will of God, if we have confidence in what He says, and it's in His will, He heareth us. So don't be going around thinking God ain't hearing us. Because if you're thinking God doesn't hear you, you don't have the confidence in Him. And to be confident in something or someone
It says in the dictionary, I don't know which one I'm reading. That's not the one. What's your favorite, Merriam-Webster? Full conviction. You are under full conviction that God hears you when you ask. Jesus said, ask. Ask. And it shall be. Like, he didn't say ask and maybe. Ask if I'm not busy. Ask and like, hold up a second. Give me some time. No, he said ask. And it shall be. So you got, but when we ask, we have to ask in full conviction. In confidence. In full confidence. That God hears us. In that, man, have you ever seen, if people, I know we've all experienced someone being confident in something. You yourself have probably been confident in something. And when you're confident in something, like, you don't need nobody telling you nothing. Like, I know what I'm doing. Like, mm-hmm. can you move? It annoys me when I know I'm confident in something and very skilled in something, then somebody trying to come up and tell me about something that I've produced. You know, like, I'm confident in this. You know, like, how you gonna come and critique me?
Or undermine
mm-hmm. me? When it's you that needs to believe this. Like, I'm not the problem.
Right, like, I'm already there.
Right. I dealt with that, especially, you know, to go back to my barbering career. You got people coming in needing a service, needing a haircut. They don't know how to cut hair. Right? But all they know is that they bring you a picture or whatever. They'll tell you what type of style they want. And they say, I want that. But they don't know how to get there other than through a barber.
Right.
And so they come to a barber. Then when you sit down and you tell me what it is, I need you to have the confidence in me to provide that those what makes the best client. Those made the best clients, those that came in and had confidence in my ability even before I proved it. But see, the thing about it with the Lord is this. He's proven it already
mm-hmm.
for the simple fact that you woke up today with the activity of your limbs.
Mm-hmm.
You woke up today with breath in, going in and out of your lungs, blood flowing through your veins, your organs working properly. Regardless, you might have some issues, but the fact that you are existing and that you are here is confident enough to know that God will hear you. He's already proven that he exists and that he can create things far beyond what you could ever imagine. People still trying to create life. People still trying to be God, but can't, because you can't match what God does. You can't even get close to doing things the way God does it. And God has, when you really look at it, who God is will blow your mind. Will blow your mind. So really, it's like, how dare you not have confidence in the creator of all things? The sun still shines today because of what God told it to do. Think about this. The sun ain't said, oh man, I'm finna let go of this word. When the Lord said, let there be, when God said, let there be light, light responded to his word. And the light is standing in full confidence. It's still shining. Based off of what God told it to do, what God gave it. And he tells us in his word that we have to be confident in him. And when we're confident in him, in our asking, We got to know that he hears us. And so when you know that he hears, when you're confident in someone and he's telling you that he hears us, you know what we have to do then at that point? Just wait. Just wait. Stand still and know. Stand still and know. We really have to allow God to move and be God in and through our lives. We have to really walk in confidence in what the Word of God says. So what was going on in our society? Ain't nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new going on in our society that ain't existed in any other society before.
Right, we're just seeing.
We're just seeing it in our way.
And we're seeing it more abundantly, maybe, because we have more access to things, too, that we have more access to things that provide sight. We
yes.
did not know what was going on the other side of the world before the
mm-hmm.
internet and all that kind of stuff. But like you said, there's nothing new under the sun.
And so we still praying to the same God that does not change. We still having, people are still having the same type of emotions that they've always had. The same sin is in the earth that has always been. But the thing is, we really have to continue as believers, we still have to continue to stay the course. We have to continue to share who Jesus is and present the opportunity for people's lives to be changed so their souls won't be lost. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple gospel. It's a simple gospel. We make it hard. We make it hard without excuses. We make it hard with our logic. We make it hard with our level of intelligence. You know, we create the things that's hard. We make it hard for ourselves. Mainly because a lot of us don't have the confidence that we need to have to be who God has called us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ask tonight that we pray for confidence in knowing that whatever we ask, God hears us. And trust his will. Trust his plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of things that, and that's another thing we really need to really focus on, praying the will of God.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times when we break down in prayer, we just be praying our will. You know, and we be hoping that the Lord is willing to line up with what we want. Lord, please
mm-hmm.
help me do this. Lord, I need this. Lord, I want this. Lord, I'm not done. And the Lord is telling you, look, that's a distraction. What you need to be doing is this right here.
Right.
That right there is you don't need to even focus on it. You need to do this. I need you to be focused on this right here. That stuff is going to come. That's going to be added to you. That's not even an issue. You're making it a concern because that's what you're thinking. You're trying to outthink me. You're trying to get ahead of me. Let me be God. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Have the confidence in me to know that I know every issue, every concern that you could ever think of. The concerns that ain't even a concern of ours right now, the Lord knows about. We ain't even thought about it yet. We ain't even encountered some things yet. But he knows. But it's all about us going to him and confessing it to him and giving it to him when we come in It's in the knowledge of things or faith with different situations. It's about giving it to the Lord and then saying, okay, God, what do I do with this? Show me what it is I need to do with this. How you want to handle this? You know, because me and Tanisha was talking earlier before the show. We was talking about, you know, a lot of the things that's going on in our world and us recognizing our faults and recognizing where we have come short as a generation of people during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And really being the bearers of truth and really getting to the root of the problems and the situations. You know, Jesus came and he died for our sins. He gave his life for our sins. So that we can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So the blood covers us. The blood covers us. But what we need to do is really get people to Christ and dealing with the spirits behind our sinful nature. What's driving our sinful nature? It ain't the Spirit of God. What's driving our sinful nature? And we really need to, as a church, as spirit-led people, we need to hit it at the root. And that's in the spirit. Those demonic spirits that people are entertaining and giving access to their lives, which is now getting people to be comfortable with sin and trying to eliminate sin being sin through justification.
Mm-hmm. And social acceptance.
And social acceptance, which is nothing but confusion. And the Bible teaches us that God is not the author of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. Where you will find a lie, when you dig down into that lie and you get up under that lie, you're going to find Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. Trust the word. Wherever you find deception, you're going to find that Satan. You know, but unspirit-led people don't see the things in the spirit.
They can't.
They see it from the surface. All they see is, that's racism. Or, that's pedophilia. That's homosexuality. That's a thief. That's a liar. Yeah, they see it from there, but they don't understand what's driving that. So we got to get deeper. How do you get deeper? You get deeper with Jesus. The Bible says Jesus set the captives free. Jesus went to hell and set them free. He went under. He went deep to save, to pull them out. And that's what we have to do. You go deep with Jesus. He'll take you to the source. He'll take you to the root of the problem. And that's what we got to come in agreement with. And come into the not only just the knowledge, but the understanding. Are we going to fight this thing the way the Lord tells us to do it? He told us to subdue this earth. He told us to conquer this earth and to bring everything under subjection that's not of him. I'm done.
Amen. What you were saying, too, was basically lines up to the scripture that the Lord gave me while you were talking about doing things outside of God's will. And I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to actually start studying Ecclesiastes. But let's start with, we're going to read verse 1 and 2. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All that is done without God's guidance is vanity, futile, meaningless, a wisp of smoke, a vapor that vanishes, merely chasing the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go a step further. What is vanity? What does it mean for something to be, you know, for to call it a vanity? Merriam-Webster says, it's something that is vain, empty, or valueless.
Mm-hmm. Valueless.
It has no value.
No value.
And people are always doing things because they're looking for value, right? They're either looking for what gives something value, right?
Mm-hmm.
Value is assessed in the earth based on the opinion of man,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we recently bought a house, right? And it had a certain value when we bought it. And then now the value has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same house. What gives it its value because of what a certain group of people determine the value. Just like jewelry,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's to say that a dirt rock is more valuable than a diamond? People.
Right.
People give things earthly value, right? But the word of God says that if you're doing something without God's guidance, I really don't care what people say because God's word is true.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take away what people say. If you're doing something without God's guidance, it has no
value.
I don't care what the leading specialist of that particular division of whatever it is that you're doing says. Let every man be a liar and God's word be true. It has no value. It's meaningless. A wisp of smoke, a vapor that vanishes, merely chasing the wind. So we need to be doing things with God's guidance.
Yes.
We need not be doing things based on the earth's manly value. Because guess what? Man can only assess value based on things that are in the earth, but you will not, you're not from this earth.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even of it. You're just simply in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pass-through. So don't be chasing after and seeking things to do things based on what the earth deems as valuable. Because guess what? When you leave, you can't take it with you.
Mm-mm. It's going to stay, right?
It's going to stay here. And even while you're here in the earth, if you're doing it outside of God's guidance, it's meaningless and it has absolutely no value. It says it's futile. I love that word. I'm going to look it up and read you the definition because I've always liked that word. I'm a word person and I've always liked the word futile. Let's read what it means so that you can understand what the word is saying to you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go here to Merriam-Webster and define futile. I love it. Serving no useful purpose, completely ineffective.
Right.
Frivolous.
Frivolous.
Come on, somebody. So, again, I don't care what the earth says, people, leading specialists.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing outside of God's guidance. It's futile.
Right.
It's ineffective. It has no purpose. Because only God can give true purpose. People try to give people purpose. They really do. People want to be God so bad. So bad. And they don't even realize it. Even if we look in the society, this is people's attempt to be God. If you were to tell them that's what they're trying to do, they would deny it. But that's what they're doing. By trying to redefine things. And trying to say that blue is yellow and yellow is purple. They're trying to be God.
Mm-hmm.
But there is only one God, one true God, right? There, and that's the God. And only he has the ability to give something true purpose. Because somebody could try to give you purpose, that don't make it true. It has to be God's purpose or it's a lie. If God didn't say it, it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be, as a body of Christ, we need to be seeking God's guidance in obedience. Playtime is over. Put those toys away. Put them back in the chest. When I was a child, I walked like a child. I talked like a child. But then I became a man and put childish things behind me.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to man up.
Yeah.
Whether you a male or female.
Yeah.
Man up as far as being adult. That's what I mean by that. Playtime is over. We got to not speak and act like children. We got to mature, and we have to be seeking God's will, because when you're new and you don't know, like when I was a baby in Christ, I just did the things that I thought were pleasing to God. I didn't know to ask God, you know, should I be doing this, or if it just made sense, because that's the world that I came out of. I came out of a logical world that teaches you to just do what feels good or what feels right or what makes sense. That's the world's teaching, but that's not God's teaching. But I tried to take my worldly mentality and sanctify it. And found myself in a whole heap of trouble in a lot of areas.
It ain't hard to find, man.
It ain't. You're going to find trouble fast.
Because it's like what you're saying. Like when you're defining the words futile, as long as they're saying words matter.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept hearing that, you know, words matter.
Right.
And so it's like, it's really significant. It's a significant part of our everyday walk. To be also careful of the words that we say,
mm-hmm.
You know, as far as when I'm saying the words, I'm saying like the words that you put together to believe.
Yes.
You know, like things that's going to line your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, I can't take this.
Right.
You know, I don't see myself doing that. I don't see myself doing this. And it lines up to what you were saying when it comes down to really not focusing on what it is you want to do. Like, are you praying to God and ask God what it is? Well, you just talking,
mm-hmm.
Because we could be talking and we really start believing it, and we're like, that's like an earplug. When you put earplugs in your ear to muffle sounds to where you don't hear nothing, you know, outside. That's like earplugs when you begin to plug your ears with your own thoughts versus speaking what God is saying. And telling us to say and what we need to be saying. And we allow our feelings to control our words,
mm-hmm.
instead of our faith. Our faith should be controlling our words. Our faith in God should be controlling our words. And our words that we speak would then frame our world. Because about an incident that's going on in one of the schools out here, I'm going to let Tanisha tell you about that.
Well, some of the parents are saying that, I guess there's a trend with the young kids that they're identifying as animals, and they have clubs, fur clubs. I guess it's trending on TikTok as well. And some of the claims that have been made that some of the children are walking down hallways on all four legs, or all four limbs, pretending to be cats or dogs. Some of the kids are apparently allowing their friends to walk them on leashes. Some of the kids are barking in the middle of classes and are meowing or just acting like they're identifying as animals. I guess it's some big movement. I talked to my children about it and they already knew what was going on. And they said that even some schools the teachers are participating in it by bringing bowls of water or in the classroom for the kids to drink out of, and litter boxes. And so there's a big there's a lot of discussion going on about what as parents we should be doing to address that with the schools, and even what does that mean with us allowing it with the kids as acceptable.
Mm-hmm. And so things that we accept and things that we allow because God has given us dominion here in the earth. And we have the authority, you know, to allow Satan to do what he wants to do. Well, we have authority to allow God to do what he wants to do here. And so it's like us as the body of believers, these are the type of things that we just can't, we can't stop preaching. We can't stop teaching. You know, we have to call things, you know, out. I mean, period. And me and my wife, we were talking about, it definitely has to start at home first.
Mm-hmm.
Because you protect your children by educating them and telling the truth to them,
mm-hmm.
having these conversations, you know, letting them know what's going on out there, because they're going to be exposed to it. You don't protect your children by locking them up in a room and cutting them off from society. It's just that another, you're going to train an individual that's going to resent you, you know. But sharing the truth with your children and training your children in the home is what's really going to help. I mean, and the enemy will try to get you to think like it's not going to help because you got so many. It's already this. It's already, you know, forget about all of it. Because if that was the case, and if it was over, none of us would be here. So there is work that still has to be done. Like the scriptures talk about, we were talking about this earlier, about the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's still the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of things out here in this earth that we as believers can put our hands to do.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody want to do the work.
Because people take the mentality that that's just the way it is, or they feel like, Terrence and I were talking about this too, they feel like, well, people have tried and failed. Mm-hmm. And what we brought up that if that was the mentality that David would have taken,
mm-hmm.
then Goliath's descendants would still be roaming the earth to this day. Because when you study Goliath, they were sending armies to take him down, and Goliath was beating all the armies. Mm-hmm. So if David would have took a mentality, well, they've tried to take him down, and they failed, so we might as well just let him run amok and do what he does, then he wouldn't have taken him out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're led by God to do something, it doesn't matter what anybody has done ahead of you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if somebody before you tried to take it down and did not have the success that you felt that they should have had.
Right.
If God says that you're going to be the one to take it down, then take it down. Just do what you are called to do.
Yeah.
And so it's like, even with what's going on in our society, a lot of things that are being accepted and being overlooked is because a lot of believers feel like, well, it's basically gone. It's so strong. It's like a Goliath now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Goliath. And they don't want to come against it because they feel like, well, the people who have tried to come against it before, they've taken them out. But if God has called Judah to come against it, to take it out, then just do what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can never stop preaching the truth. Because that's not a person, a child. And I get children do things for shock value. That's been every generation. You know, like in our generation, it was the punk rockers, right? They wore the spiky hair and the dark clothing and all that. And they did it for shock value. And so I get that kids can do things for shock value. But we still need to be teaching the truth,
right?
Because we do live in a society that is telling you that you can be whatever you identify as, even though God, when he made two types of people, which we have two types of sex of people, not gender sex of people,
mm-hmm.
He said male and female. So that's all you can be, is a male or a female. You can't be a fish, right?
Nope.
You can't be a frog. Can't be a snake. You can't be any other thing but a male or a female with a purpose that was provided by God. And because we live in a society that is teaching children that you can identify with, because you identify because of what you think, everybody has to go along with it and label you that and all that. We need to be teaching our children that, you know, again, you might be trying to be weird because it's cool to be weird or do things for shock value, but please know that the truth is that this is, these are the options. Because
right.
God is the giver of the options. I'm not a Klu-Klux Kwangling because that don't exist. So if I say I identify as a Klu-Klux Kwangling, you're going to be like, what's that? That's what I identify as. No, you made it. It's a lie. Because what is that? I just totally made that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I make something up and say, well, I identify as a Klu-Klux Kwangling, and these are the characteristics, and you better call me a Klu-Klux Kwangling. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I sound nuts. But
that's how it is.
To you, that sounds nuts because, but this is where we're going. Because right now people are saying that they identify as things that already have labels. But what happens when people start creating their own labels and creating their own adjectives and creating their own characteristics of their own labels? This is where we're going.
Yeah.
And so we have to teach our children the truth.
That
this is exactly, because where there is not order, there is disorder. And no good comes from disorder. Even people have mental illness and conditions, they call them mental disorders.
Right.
Where and we serve a God of order. And so we have to be teaching the truth that you are male or you are female. You could be a male who has feminine characteristics. You can be a male that likes to dress as a woman, but you're still a male. We'll address all that other stuff, you know, that some other time. But I'm just saying, as far as how you identify, you can only be one or the other.
Right.
And then whatever comes with you, that's other stuff to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with the core that we are not going to take away. See, people are trying to be God. That's what the devil is doing. He's trying to undermine everything that God has labeled, everything that God has said is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He called Adam a male. He called Eve a female. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy's always trying to come in like he did with Eve. Will you really die? To try to get you to question what God has said.
Are you
really a male?
Right.
Are you really a female? Is marriage really between male and female?
You should be in love who you want.
Right.
You should.
Will God really be not okay with you, if you love this person versus loving that person? Is it really fornication?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really a lie? That's what he does. He starts
mm-hmm.
to get you to question God's truth. And even believers will be like, well, we do serve a God of love, and we are supposed to follow the letter of the law. He starts to bring things in to get you to question it. But if you just stick to the truth is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bring in some other facts to change it. You can't say that the sun don't rise and set every day. That it's ice skating. It's not. It's rising and it's setting every day. Just because you call it something else doesn't make that true, because God has already said it's going to rise and it's going to set.
Absolutely. It's like when you were saying where there's no order, there's disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard, and the same is where there's no structure, there's destruction.
Come on. Come on, we serve a God of order. If we didn't serve a God of order, if God put the planet
uh-huh.
and everything that's in outer space, and you know, if you ever study space, there's all sorts of meteorites and all of these, there's rocks and there's all sorts of things in space, but they stay where they are because of the order of God. If God didn't set order to the sun will burn us out. It will come closer, because if you study the placement of the sun versus the earth, and if you study the size of it, have you ever studied the size of the sun? It's huge. It might look small when you're looking at it because it's super far. But if it was any closer, it would burn us to death. Why does it stay where it's at? Because God told it to. Because there is order. If all of the stars fell out of the sky, they would burn us up. They're balls of gas. Come on, somebody. So we are even able to wake up every day and not be concerned about the sun falling and burning us up, because of the order that God has created. And that even applies to human. But the problem with humans is we have free will and we have the ability to do. And so we use that to our advantage, and we use that to try to take away the order that God has already established, just because we have free will and we could go against it. But we as believers need to be preaching the truth.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if the Goliaths are saying, well, that's just the way it is, and society's changing, and this is a different time, and it's a different age. It is a different time, but it is a different age, but there's nothing new under the sun, and God's word is still true.
Right.
That is never going to change.
Absolutely.
Because when people was doing what they was doing, remember when the angels came and the men was wanting to get with the angels when they came for Lot, and Lot was like, here, give me this, here, take my daughter. No, we want this. That goes on to this day. But God's word was still true.
Mm-hmm.
When Moses went to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was a powerful one, it's like, look, I ain't letting them go. I don't care what you do. And all sorts of frogs and things were coming. And also, God's word was still true. The truth of God's word has never changed. Even though different situations happen at different times, in different places, in different countries, in different centuries, God's word is still, that has not changed. So I don't care what society deems as acceptable and what society is now flipping to be true, because they're going to say, next week, I identify as colors, right? I'm going to identify as blue.
Somebody's going to say they're going to identify as an airplane.
You know what I'm saying?
And they're going to be on top of buildings.
It is a slippery slope with glass shoes on. But it is also set up for the Antichrist to come into rule, because what's going to happen is when you promote an okay disorder, more disorder happens. Disorder is like rot,
mm-hmm.
right? If you watch something rot, it doesn't get any better. It just continues to get progressively worse with time. Have you ever had a rotten orange in your orange bowl, right? First, it gets like a little fuzz on it. Then it gets all green, a little bit on the side. Then the next thing you know, the whole thing rots out. If you ever have watched an orange rot. And that's what happens with disorder. It disorder produces decay. And it just continues to decay. It doesn't stop. There's not like a threshold where, oh, I'm going to stop decaying here. No, it decays until it disintegrates. If you allow an orange to rot, or any piece of fruit, and you allow it to rot long enough, it will eventually turn into dust.
Mm-hmm.
It will disintegrate. And that's the same thing with disorder. Disorder produces decay and rot. And that's what's going to happen as a society, because you're accepting disorder. Now you're opening the door for all disorder, because there's no limit to it. People are saying, oh, it's just people thinking that they're other genders, which really is sex, not gender. But what happens when they start to think that they're inanimate objects? What happens when they start to think that this, that, and the other, and you have to accept that, and you have to accommodate that, and you have to, it's going to produce a rot, which is how the Antichrist is going to really come into play, and with his message of truth, with his false prophet, to bring back order. That's going to be his platform, is to bring peace and order. And we're seeing right now the groundwork of that, because we're accepting lies and disorder, and it's going to decay and get worse. And Antichrist is going to say, here I am, I'm going to bring order and peace, and people are going to go along with it,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to get out of control, when really the only one that can stop it is God.
Absolutely.
But he's going to make himself a God, so to speak. So that's a whole other discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, we as believers, we need to be doing what God's telling us to do. We need to be telling the truth in love. It's not to fight people. Don't fight people. Don't argue with people. If you're doing that, stop doing that. Stop arguing with people. You tell the truth and that's it. And if they want to believe something different, that's on them to believe something different, because their belief is not going to dictate your eternity. It's going to dictate their eternity. But I'm just here to give you the truth, because you're walking in lies and deception, and I'm going to give you the truth, and you can either believe it or not. That doesn't stop where I'm going. And then I'm going to go where God has sent me to the next person. I'm just here to give you an opportunity, because I'm not the author or finisher of your faith. I'm just a messenger of his truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose to accept that truth, and you choose to accept the author and finisher of your faith, he's going to work all that other stuff out. I'm not going to sit up there and line by line the things that you're doing wrong in your life. I'm just trying to get you to Jesus, and he'll work all that out.
Right.
Because a lot of people are too busy trying to, well, you living in sin, and you shacking, and you fornicating, and you're participating in homosexuality, and you're just saying, I'm not about to argue with you about those things. I'm about to just lead you to Christ. And guess what? If you sincerely follow Christ, he's going to work all that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to preach Jesus and truth. If a situation is presented to me and you want my opinion is always going to be the truth. Quit having your own opinion. What does God say?
Mm-hmm.
You are here as his representative, not yours. But it seems so wrong that God would send people who are good people. Matter of fact, let's talk about this real quick, and then we're going to pray. Somebody was talking to me about, quote, good people, and asking me, does good people go to hell? We're all bad, first and foremost. So what determines good is what I asked. I said, because according to the word of God, we're all like filthy rags. And if you study the words that are used for filthy rags, it's filthy menstrual rags. Pretty gross. That's what we are compared to. That's nasty. So we're just really like, yuck. All of us. So by God's own standard, there's no good people. But people, of course, always have standards. And so well, what if this person is kind and moral and did good works and all this kind of stuff? And I had to explain to them, it's not the works. You're not saved by works. The difference between those who are saved and those who are not is Jesus. That's it. That's all. Mm-hmm. It's just Jesus. That's the difference. You can be a very moral person. Like, people seem to think that people who are agnostic or atheists are immoral, and that's not true. You can be moral and still be an atheist. You could be an atheist who's very kind, mm-hmm. who's very charitable, right? So you could be a charitable person. You could be kind-hearted. You can donate money. You can do all these things. Even the word of God says, let's talk about from a Christian perspective. If you had all the gifts, if I prophesy over you and I do all these things and I give you the shirt off my back and give you all my money and I don't have love, it's nothing. It has value of none, zero value. That's what the word says. It means nothing if you don't have love. Now, if the word of God says God is love and love is God, that means if you're doing all this stuff, you're charitable and blah, 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 and you don't have God, it don't mean nothing. So yes, you can nice and charity your way right to the flames of hell, because the difference is God. The difference is Jesus. Did you make him your Lord and Savior? That's the separation. That's it, not what you did. Because some of us know some very people who are believers, and they're kind of mean. So maybe they had a hard knock life. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's not the works. It's Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we always need to be preaching Jesus, just preach Jesus and let him work it out. It's not, you're not the Holy Spirit. Mm-mm. It does not say in the word of God that whoever you minister to, and if you lead them to Christ, then you work it out. It says God will work it out. It says that they're going to get the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. Quit trying to take over. You ain't getting paid for it.
Because that's their relationship.
Right. Leave people be. Preach Jesus. That's what we need to be bringing to people. Preach Jesus. And when people try to bring you that foolishness and nonsense, tell the truth mm-hmm. in love. Not to have an argument, but you just tell the truth, because sometimes a person will even sit up there and try to argue with you, but when they in the middle of the night, they wake up, they're going to think about what you said, because you've sown a seed. People are dirt. You've sown a seed in that dirt, and they'll think about it, even if they never admit it to you. Even if they call you a fool and say that you're thinking about, you know, you believe in fairy tales and some big Santa in the sky, and blah, 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 blah. But in the middle of the night, they're like, dang, I wonder if what they said was true. They might start pondering it. They might come back to work the next day and still make fun of you and mock you. But really, your seed is taking root. And they may never admit that to you. Maybe 10 years down the line, they'll have a conversion because of that seed. And you'll never know it. But it's not about that. You just preach truth, preach Jesus, and be doing what he said to do. Mm-hmm. And quit looking at people's works. Oh, they seem like a good person. I don't need to preach Jesus to them. Everybody needs Jesus. Mm-hmm. You need them. If you think you don't need them right this second or tomorrow, you're a fool. You need them every single day, every minute of it, every second of the day, until you take your final breath, and then you're still going to need them to get into eternity. Still going to need them. Everybody needs the Lord. Let's do a collective prayer, and then we're going to go over area code prefix, unmute you, get your name, and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, thankful for another moment and opportunity. We thank you for being able to speak the truth in love. We thank you for teaching us, Father God, your ways, not the ways of the world, but your ways, oh God. And help us, Father God, to be bold and give us the craving, give us the thirst to do your will and your will only. Mm-hmm. We don't want to just be chasing the wind. That's crazy. We want to be doing the work of you, kingdom work. We want to be about our Father's business, not ours. And then we need to learn to mind your business. And Father God, help us to be bold.
Yes.
Raise up
the Moseses and the Elijahs and the Davids and the John the Baptist, who are not afraid to go against the heads of the systems, the heads of the rulers. That's what they all went against, the rulers. Rise up in people the boldness needed to go against the system. David went against the scariest person in the land, Goliath. Elijah went against the most wicked, powerful queen, Jezebel. Moses went against the Pharaoh. John the Baptist called out the king. And they did it boldly. And they did it led by you. They didn't just wake up and decide to do these things. You led them to do it. So Father God, give us the boldness to, if that's what you have called for us, to go against the kingdom heads or the political heads or the earthly rulers, give us the boldness to do it. Let us just be wanting to do your will and to do it. And let us understand that just because the situation is scary doesn't mean that we have to be afraid. Your word says, fear not. Let us do it without fear. And let us have the confidence, like Terrence was talking about, the confidence in you. Not me. I'm not confident in me. I'm confident in you, Father God. I know you can do it. Because where I fail, where I'm weak, you're strong. And I can do all things only through you who strengthens me, not through my human abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident in you. Mm-hmm. And help us all be confident in you. Let it all be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So what we're going to do is unmute you, get your name, and then we're going to pray for you because we got about 30 minutes or so before we're going to clear off and let guys have an opportunity to get a snack or whatever before you call back. Everybody's got their hand up tonight. First one is 610-427. Who are we speaking to?
Shalom, mi gente. Shalom, familia. This is Lisa from PA.
Hey, Lisa. How are you tonight?
I'm all right. I'm all right. My Boost mobile phone got cut off.
Oh.
And I think it's from PGM because they said network policy. Like,
oh,
and
wow.
I was trying to figure out. Yeah, so the only thing I could think of is I was calling every day, you know.
Mhm.
So
yeah, I'm gonna tell you what we do. We got the little Google number.
Yeah.
That's the only way we
this
can
is
call.
About-
We can't call in without our legal, so.
Yep. So, yeah, we use a Google number.
Who do you have?
To call.
Mm-hmm.
Who do y'all have?
We got Spectrum
mm-hmm.
as our service provider, but even when we had
Metro
mm-hmm. it didn't work. We just have to use the Google number. And that's pretty much free, so. Just
okay.
Put the app, download the Google phone app. And they'll provide you a Google number. All you have to do is you got to call using Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm using Wi-Fi mm-hmm. right now, Wi-Fi number. This is a mm-hmm. text Wi-Fi. So mm-hmm. Would y'all come into agreement with me? I'm just trying to get, instead of trying to figure out what happened, because that's what I was really, really trying to figure out, I'm just trying to get that phone unlocked and transferred out to put it under another cell, you know, to put it under
yeah.
another, because I need that number. I had that number for, that's like attached to all my financial accounts and stuff, you know, and they, even when I printed out some documents the other week, they text my phone, Google, like they keep texting my phone to like verify.
Right.
So I'm like, so I need mm-hmm. that. So just kind of, I mean, I know God got me, but I had went to a deliverance retreat, and it's like you get hit, you know, with the little stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
so yeah. What's going on, y'all?
Yeah, we come in agreement that you're able to retrieve all the information that's needed in its time, and that any hiccups or hindrances will end. And that you overcome them and be able to just endure and just look at, just focus on right now what God wants you to focus on. Because a lot of the times the things that we think we need, we really don't. and God be showing us that we don't sometimes. So I, not that this, that's the case, but I'm just saying this, like, I'm sensing like it's something greater coming behind that particular thing. And so, I'm that's rich. Lord, we just thank you for Lisa tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the push, the continuing drive. I just see like in gear, you know, in driving gear, and you're making progress. You're headed into a destination, and so you're not in neutral, you're not in reverse, but you're in drive. So you are moving. You are moving. And I see like you're on the highway to where a lot of times I'm on the highway for long trips, you know, I put it in cruise control, you know, and I just guide it. I just guide it. And I see God, like, you putting yourself in cruise control and allowing God to just guide you. Just guide you through where you need to be. And wherever you need to be, you're going to get there because you've put it in drive. Like you're driving. And I'm just, and I see a car, but it's just like life, like your life is in drive. It's finally in that position, you know. I'm saying like you where you're supposed to be, like you're doing the things that's needed to be done to get you to where you need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And God is guiding you there. He's guiding you, so you can like sit back. It's a peaceful trip. Like some good highway in front of you. Freshly paved roads. No detours. No traffic. You can just ride and get to where you want to go. Like beautiful scenery. But like the Lord wants you to enjoy the trip. And enjoy the journey. And heading to the destination. Yes, excited about where you're going to end up and where you're going, but also enjoying where you are, also enjoying the trip on the way. That's what I'm getting.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you right now for Lisa. Father God, we thank you for you justifying you making things just. We tend to look for fairness, but you are a God who is just. So we thank you that you are making things just for her benefit, Father God. And we thank you that you are connecting her. You're connecting her to like places of wisdom, whether it be people who are wise or just being in environments where wisdom flows so that she can be sharpened in the area of wisdom. Iron sharpens iron. It's one thing when you're wise amongst a lot of ignorance. It's another thing when you're wise amongst wise people. It amplifies, it turns it up. So we thank you, Lord, for creating paths for her to where she is sharpened and in circles and around people who operate in godly wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, y'all. I had to put y'all on mute. Thank you, guys. God bless y'all.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. I had to put you on mute. Yeah, I was talking, making my comments and stuff. So thank y'all. Have a beautiful, blessed night.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, let's get to our next one here. 954-50, who are we speaking to?
Hi, this is Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn, how are you tonight?
Hey, Carolyn.
I'm well, thank you.
All right. Man, let's pray for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Carolyn. Father God, we thank you for the strength. We thank you for I see the Lord, Carolyn, like rejuvenating you, replenishing you. Carolyn and I were talking about this earlier, how people get weary, right? When the enemy knows he can't take you out, he tries to make you tired. Where you're tired of fighting, you're tired of battling. He'll give you all these reasons of what you're. He'll tell you why you're tired, right? He'll say, "Oh, I'm tired of being, you know, not knowing, or I'm tired of fighting, or I'm tired of whatever." It could be a whole list of reasons, but he'll try to convince you that you're tired of something. But I see the Lord rejuvenating you and giving you like an energy to where you can't even say those words about any area of your life. Where you're instead of being tired or feeling like, "Oh, I'm tired of this," you're going to say, "I'm determined. I'm determined to do this." Or you're going to take like a different approach and see it different. Like, "No, I'm taking this thing out. I don't care how long it takes. That I see it. It's on my radar now. And this is God said this is going to be the end. And I ain't stopping until I see what God showed me. Or I'm not going to stop until I see what God told me." So that's going to give you like a fire and rejuvenate you to where you're going to keep doing what needs to be done, keep doing the work, because there's God really has so much for you. I really see you having like financial independence where you're not depending on like jobs or other ways to, you know, other people. God is going to make you independent to where you are in control of even income and how much money you have and that kind of thing. But it, you know, there's a fight to get there sometimes. But God is going to give you the strength that you need to continue to fight and continue to go for what God has shown you. Because it's not like you're just making it up. You're going after what God has told you is yours. And an enemy going to try to come in, "Oh, aren't you tired of this?" No, I'm not. I'm determined. I ain't stop until I get there. And even then, I'm gonna keep going when God tells me to keep going. So, Lord, we thank you for Carolyn. We thank you for the strength, the rejuvenation. We thank you for the victory. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Next person is 502-548. Who are we speaking to?
Hey, it's Greg from Kentucky. How are you?
Very good. How are you, Greg?
I'm good.
Awesome. Let's pray for you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Greg, tonight, Father God, we just thank you for joy. See you like a big baby, like just laughing, like taking you back to when you look at kids, man, they laugh, especially the baby, they just be cracking up, and you be like, "What is so funny?" They just laughing, they're just full of joy, you know, like balls of joy, like they don't have a care in the world, everything is being done for them. Mama makes sure they fed, you know, dad makes sure the roof is over the head and clothes on the backs, and just being loved, attended to, being cleaned up after. And I see you like in that place of joy like a baby when it comes down to your trust in the Lord, trusting him to that capacity. And knowing that there is nothing that you want for or need, because he has it all covered. God has it all covered. And so, Lord, we just thank you for giving Greg that baby-like mentality when it comes to the trust in you and to share it with others. In Jesus' name. That's what I got.
Thank you, Lord. All right, let's get to our next caller here. 828-989, who are we speaking to?
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you tonight?
Hi. All is well with my soul.
I know, that's right. Yeah, all is well. Let's pray for you.
All is well.
I like that. All is well with my soul. And that's the truth. Lord, we just thank you right now for Jennifer, for the peace and calm. We thank you, Lord, for her ability to walk on water. And that's what I see. I remember one time, Jennifer, I had a situation happen at work, and the job I was working for at the time had attendance managers. And we were talking about a situation, and I was believing God to have a certain outcome. And the manager told me, well, to do that is pretty much impossible. It's like walking on water. Remember, that's what she told me. I sat there calmly. I wasn't shaking. I said, well, Peter walked on water too. And man, when I tell you, that lady turned beet red and like was like, I'll talk to you later. Like, she basically cut the meeting short and told me to skedaddle up out of there. But the outcome that I was looking for, I did get, even though she was trying to shake my faith in my confidence and knowing I was going to get that outcome by saying something that she felt was impossible. But what's possible, impossible with man is possible with God. So yeah, walking on water as a human being without God to help me, that's impossible. But God showed that you can walk on water when he calls you to walk on the water, because Peter walked on water too. And I see you walking on water, doing things that are typically impossible. As people would say, oh, that's impossible. You know how many times people have told me things were impossible that I accomplished? That word doesn't even rattle me anymore. And it used to, but it doesn't. Because God has shown me that if he says it, that's just what it is. I don't care what hasn't been done before. That thing is impossible. And when God says it, that automatically takes the impossible and makes it possible. And I see you doing things that others will deem impossible, and you breaking new ground, and you, you know, spearheading things. But the beauty of it, Jennifer, is that there's going to be a peace that you have about it. You're not going to be rattled. And people are going to say, people are going to try to call it futile. It's a futile mission. This is not, it's futile when I don't have God. It's productive when I do. And you're going to have a peace as you're doing these groundbreaking things that others deem, quote, impossible, that is going to help you. Because, yeah, doing something new when there's no forerunner, it could be scary to some people. But it's not going to be scary for you. You know, Noah had never built an ark before that we know of. I don't believe he did. But guess what? He did something that at that time was impossible because nobody had done it before. But God not only told him to do it, and that which now made it possible, but he gave him all the instructions. When you really study that, he told him all the cubits and all that. So like, he gave him the instructions on how to build the ark. It doesn't matter that there wasn't a forerunner that had built an ark before. Right? Nobody, to our knowledge in the Word of God, had built an ark before. So that means that he was the forerunner of this. Right? This was groundbreaking for him to build an ark, not only large enough for his family, but to save every single creature that existed at that time. That had not been done before. But God gave him all the instructions to make it so. And this is what's going to happen with you. You're going to do new things, groundbreaking things, and you're going to have peace because God's going to tell you what to do. You don't need to know. God knows. And all he has to do is tell you what he knows to make it so. So we thank you for that, Lord. And we just thank you for the peace that all is well within her soul. All is well within her mind. All is well within her finances. All is well within her health. All is well within her whole being. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Get to our next one here. 251-342. Who are we speaking to?
Mm-hmm. Hey, this is Latrice from Dallas.
Hey, Latrice, how are you tonight?
It is well, in spite of.
I know, that's right.
It is. That's great. That's great. Good to hear you.
Good.
Amen. Well, we thank you for the treats tonight, Father God. We thank you for the persistence. The persistence. Over in Job 6. Verse 10. No, 9. I'm sorry, with 9. Yeah. Okay. Even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would not lose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I will harden myself in sorrow, let him not spare. For I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is my end that I shall prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quiet from me? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quiet from me? So doing this, Job was getting an answer, so he was asking questions. And the Lord is saying, like, your persistence in asking questions, like, in your prayers, like, when you're talking to God, I see, like, your questions, you're getting the answers to your questions, because of your pursuit for the things of God in your persistence, it's going to bring forth the answers. Because just like earlier when we were teaching on having the confidence in him and in knowing that anything that you ask, he hears you, right? And so through your confidence, your persistence is driven by your confidence. You know, like your confidence in God pushes your persistence in him to get answers. Job needed answers. He wanted answers. But even in him wanting answers, he never lost faith. His faith didn't relinquish. He didn't give up. He didn't quit on God. So by not quitting on God and being persistent, God restored him. He restored him with better and more. Put the people around him that loved him for who he is. And they love God accordingly as well. They didn't love him for what he could do for them. And I see God putting people around you that's going to love you for who you are in Christ. And not people around you that only love you based on the conditions. As long as you can do certain things, or as long as you have certain things, they rolling with you. But the moment that's done, they gone. So God is opening, the closing that door and opening a new door for new people. That's gonna support the God type of support. It's going to show you real love. Mm-hmm. It's going to give you back the love that you give. New circles. You like new circles. New people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good stuff. Next caller is 405-779. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, this is Lucretia from Oklahoma.
Hey, Lucretia.
Hey, Lucretia, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good. Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Lucretia, Father God. We thank you for being a lighthouse and a strong tower, and her really having an understanding of what that means. Like, I really see God really illuminating your path, lighting your path. Sometimes we make moves and we really are kind of unsure. We're a little shaky where we're like, yeah, I think God is telling me to do this. I don't know. But I'm just going to move by faith because I'm not really sure. But I see God really lighting it, lighting your path where you know that you know that you know that it's him. And there's a, like Terrence was talking about, that confidence in him. There's a confidence that's going to come when you know this is the direction that God wants me to go. Sometimes the direction does not make sense, right? It doesn't. But even when it doesn't make sense in the natural, you'll still be confident about it. Like, not the path I would have chose, but let's do this, Lord, because I know that you're telling me to do this. So it's just going to make sense later. I'm not even going to think about that. I'm just going to confidently take this path because this is what you told me to do. Made no sense for David to go after Goliath with a stone when whole armies couldn't take him down. But hey, here he was. And he conquered. And you're going to conquer by just doing what God tells you to do and not even thinking about sense, right? We put too much value in sense. When the word says his ways are not like our ways and his thoughts are not like our thoughts, which means that what makes sense to us, God don't operate in that realm of doing things just because they quote unquote make sense. So you're going to have a confidence because God's illuminating your path. So he's going to be your light tower and your strong tower. And what that means, strong tower, like you're hidden in him, right? You're hidden in him, which means that no matter what tries to come your way, you're protected by the tower, and the tower is strong. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're in some house made out of straw and the big bad wolf will come and blow it down. No, you're in the strong tower of God. So it doesn't matter what's thrown at you. It's already failing as it's on its way to attack you. It already failed when it left the enemy's camp. Has no effect. You can see it, but nobody cares because it's not going to have any, it's not going to take root. It has no power. It's like if an ant was to throw something at you. You're an ant. Who cares? Let me just walk over you. So, Lord, we just thank you for that, for Lucretia, in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 504-376. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Nicole from New Orleans.
Hey, Nicole, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. I can't complain.
Amen.
I'm just a little tired.
You're tired, huh? Yeah. I understand when you get a little tired. A little tired sometimes. But one thing about when you're tired, you can rest. You can rest. And so we just thank God for rest.
Mm-hmm.
The resting in of the mind. Sometimes we have to shut our brains off, you know, give our minds a quiet place, you know, to rest and recoup, not think about so many issues and things that we gotta do, or gotta do this, gotta do that, you know, because the Lord's really been basically speaking to me and Nisha about really time management, mm-hmm. like really focusing on being intentional with your time, like setting your time to rest, because everybody has the same amount of hours, but we all don't use the same time that's been allotted to us the same way. And we look at people in their life and we see how people can, it seems like they're doing more than others and this, that, and other. A lot of times it's about how you're spending your time. Are you being intentional with your time? The Bible tells us, you know, write the vision and make it plain. We have to, like, make our days plain. It's nothing wrong with planning things, right? God created a plan. God has a plan, you know, And he give us instructions that he wrote. And so he tells us to write things down. And so even with our time, you set aside time to rest, you know, and be intentional with it and hold yourself accountable to do particular things by allotting time to do things. And don't allow people to come in and infringe upon your time when you are doing things for that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will come and try to disturb you and to get you off track. Because so many people feel like, based on today's society, people really feel like they are entitled to your time.
Yeah, they do.
All the time. You have this phone in your hand. Somebody buzzing you. Somebody texting you. Or you getting a notification. And it seems you got to answer it right then and there.
Yeah.
But you got to be intentional with our time. And God is going to show you the things that you need to do with your time so that you can get more results. Like, God has things set up for you that's based on you, how you position your time. And he's going to give you the plan on you doing it. So we just thank you for time being important in Nicole's life. We thank you for that and her understanding and giving her the plan of how to plan her time and be intentional with her time in Jesus' name.
Amen. Next caller, 235-454. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, this is Karen, and I also have my husband here with me, James.
Hey, James.
Karen and James, how are you tonight?
Feeling good. How are you?
Great.
Doing good. Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Karen and James. Lord, we thank you for being the third cord. Like the word says, a three-strand cord is not easily broken. We thank you, Father God, for being the center of their marriage, Father God, so that they are united in you and that they are strong in you as a Christ-centered couple. For Karen, Father God, we just thank you for giving her the boldness and the confidence that giving her a voice to speak and where people will listen to the things that she says, that they won't dismiss the things that she says because you're giving her the words, you're putting the wisdom in her. And we thank you, Father God, that people will identify that and see that and that she won't be afraid to use her voice,
mm-hmm.
that she won't be timid, that she won't be concerned about what people say or what they think about what she's saying, because she's just being used of you. It's her mouth, but her mouth is basically like a megaphone because really it's your words coming out of her mouth. So give her the boldness, Father God, and give her the people to hear what she is speaking because they are words from your throne for the betterment of people, the edification of people, and to set people free. And Lord, for James, we thank you, Father God, that he has that he understands who he is in you, that people will try to label you. People will try to tell you what they feel is best for you. People will try to create the path, but give him the boldness to know who he is in you and to walk in that, despite what people might say, oh, well, you could be doing this. You could be doing that. James, my son at one point, our oldest son, he's 25. And when he was first going to college, he was going to be an engineer. And of course, as a parent, you feel some sort of way when your kid's going to be an engineer. You know, kind of, they're like, what does your son do, Denisha? Oh, my son's hard. He's going to university to be an engineer. You know, that sounds so fancy. And, you know, you want your kids to have these high rankings. That's the face I made. If you saw my face, when we get video, you'll be able to see the faces I make. But I'm like, yeah, my son's going to university to be an engineer. And he calls me one day in a pure panic and says, Mom, and I'm like, what's wrong, son? He's like, I don't want to be an engineer. I don't feel like I'm supposed to be an engineer. And he told me this journey that God was taking him on to major in business. And he was just so upset. And I'm like, why are you so upset? And he's like, because, you know, I don't want to upset you. I don't want to let you down or dad down or anybody down because I don't think that I'm supposed to be an engineer. But I, you know, took the engineering program because everybody's saying I'm so smart and I'd be so good at it. But I really feel like that's not what God has for me, that God wants me to be in business. And I'm like, well, do business.
I said, what makes me proud is you doing what God calls you to do. I said, if anybody doesn't like it, that's their problem. Don't make it yours. And people will do that, James. They'll see potential in you and try to label you and try to give you a path. Because my son is very good at, like, you know, math and science and all that kind of stuff, whatever engineers do, whatever. He's just extremely intelligent. And so, yeah, some people will be like, oh, man, what a waste of talent. You got accepted into this hard engineer program only for you to go to some business program, blah, 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 beneath your potential. But that's God's path for him to graduate. And he did an internship last summer, and God has carved out a path for him that he's finding success in. And so people will do that. They'll try to carve a path for you based on your skills and talent. Like, I'm good at doing hair. I'm really good at braiding and all that kind of stuff. I hate doing it. And some people will say, man, you could make a killing if you braid and do this and the other. That's not for me. That's just a talent that I have. I have a lot of talent. I'm good at drawing and all sorts of stuff, writing poems. But I'm going to do what God, the path God has me on. And people try to use your skills and talent and try to carve out a path for you. And then when you don't do that path, try to be disappointed in you. Who cares? You be confident in who God has called you to be, and you do what God has called you to do. That's where your success is. That's where you find success. Because we all want to be successful. Nobody wakes up and says, you know what? I want to be not successful. No, we want to be successful. Success drives us. We want to be successful in our relationships and in being parents and our jobs. People want to be successful, but true success comes from God, not people. And it doesn't matter if you have skills, talents, if you're good at things. Most of us are good at a lot of things, but that doesn't mean that that's the path that's going to lead us. We're not led by our talents, right? We're led by God. So, Lord, we thank you for the confidence that James has in you. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to our next caller here. 334-590. Who are we speaking to?
Jaylen. Hey, it's Jaylen Jamail.
Hey, Jaylen Jamail. How are you guys tonight?
Good.
Good. How
awesome.
Are you?
We're good. Did you guys get a chance to listen to them songs I sent?
Yes. I was awesome. Going to text you earlier how those songs, I've been listening to them since, and they're so good.
All right.
Well, let's pray for you both. Go ahead. Are you at heart? Or you want me to start?
Yeah, because you got to look at the time.
Too, okay, man. Yeah, you go ahead.
Lord, we thank you for Jayla. We thank you for Jamail, Father God. We just thank you for the it's like I see the path. Like you guys coming into an agreement, making the pact with each other to be true friends. Like, the Bible says a friend will stick closer than a brother. And so, friends that's going to love each other unconditionally. Friends that's going to be honest with each other, that's going to tell each other the truth. You know, despite, you know, a lot of times we won't say, tell a person the truth or be honest with a person that we care about because we don't want to hurt their feelings. And I see God taking y'all beyond it,
mm-hmm.
to where you're not really worried about feelings. God putting y'all in a place to where you guys can really share with each other and God could really move on you guys' behalf to strengthen y'all for the things that you guys are going to battle with. And I see God really having y'all team up together to make these things possible. Because it's not by accident or by chance, you know, that you guys' paths cross. It's not by accident or chance that you guys are connected to Prophetic Grace Network, but it's God's will. It's God's will that you guys are going to be front runners for change, for like a lot of change that's coming. Your voice is going to get louder and louder and louder and louder and louder and louder of sharing the truth. And the truth is Jesus. Sharing the truth. When the truth is Jesus. And I really see you guys moving in it and operating in it. And God has anointed you guys for that.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Next person here, 731-334. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, this is Ashley. I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Hey, Ashley. How are you tonight?
So what Jennifer said, and I am all is well with me.
I mean, that's right. All is well. Yes, ma'am. Let's pray for you, Ashley. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Ashley. We thank you for the heart to nurture, the heart to, like, I see you like having like a mother's heart. And there's all sorts of roles that women can have, but it's different when you mother. There's a nurturing that comes. There's a type of love that you have for those that you mother. And they don't have to be children from your womb. You know, God will give you people to mother. And when you mother people, there's a certain love and there's an acceptance that they feel. Whether they're in the right, whether they're in the wrong, but they feel accepted and loved. And they'll come to you with their problems, or they'll come to you looking for guidance. And I see God really putting that in you, that mothering, to just love people right where they're at. You know, because as parents, your kids will go through some phases, sometimes some very ugly phases, and you still love them. And they still feel safe. And they still feel like, if at the end of the day, everybody might hate me, but my mama loved me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mama loves me. You just walk them through it and you speak the truth, but they still know that they're loved. Even when they know that you don't accept the things that they do and that you don't agree, they still feel loved. And I see God really, that really rising up in you, that nurturing of a mother to really just love people where they're at. And when people feel loved and safe and secure, they will come to you with the truth of what they do, operate, all that. And it gives you the opportunity to minister God's love to them and to reach them. Because some people that can't be reached with other people in the world, their mother can reach them. Their mama can reach them. Mama can talk to them. Some people will never listen to any authoritative figure, but they'll listen to their mama.
Mm-hmm.
And I see God really putting that in you so that you can minister love to people and reach people who are unreachable. So we just thank you for that, Lord, and let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Next one here, 847-239. Who are we speaking to?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
Awesome. Let's pray for you.
Well, we thank you for Stephanie tonight, Father God. We thank you for the adjustments. See, God, having you make adjustments in your life to really make some major changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the little things, the little small things that we overlook that really make the biggest difference in the world. It makes the biggest difference. I see God really have magnifying the small things. Because a lot of people kind of take things that you deem important as nothing to them, you know, and that's fine. But that still doesn't make it any less important to you. It still doesn't make it any less important. And so people be like, oh, that's little, that's nothing. But that's big to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't you adjust things in your life based off of other people's perspectives. You make those adjustments in your life based off of the truth and what God is telling you. If God says it's a big deal to you, then you allow it to be a big deal to you, okay? And you make those adjustments, and you'll see things begin to smooth out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. For the sake of time, I'm going to pray over the next two. We have a hand up, 832-231. Lord, we just thank you for 832-231 for them really understanding victory in Christ, what that means and how that operates. I see you really seeing victory and but victory in Christ, how what you can't accomplish on your own, what you can't accomplish with the systems of the world, you're going to be able to accomplish with Christ, and you're really going to walk in true victory.
And it's going to really boost your faith in God. And it's really going to give you a platform to really be able to minister to hurt people and people who have felt like they've led defeated lives, to really ministering and telling them that they can have victory in Christ. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And the next one is 251-229. Lord, we just thank you right now for 251-229 for really feeling the comfort of you and seeking true comfort. Because a lot of times we seek comfort from different things. Like there's even comfort food. Like I'm a foodie. I like food. But I have to be careful with my relationship with food, because there was a time in my life where I would run the food for like if I was happy, or run the food if I was sad and all that kind of stuff. And I have to get a good relationship with food. But people seek comfort in lots of different things. Food, family, sometimes in music, all these different things. But I see you really seeking comfort in God, and God showing you how he is that comfort place. He's, mm-hmm. he's a true place of comfort. Because sometimes when we rely on other things for comfort and we depend on them, when we don't get comfort from them anymore, it can really take us on a tailspin. But God is going to really be your true comfort, so that you're always running to him. And you can still enjoy the other things that were comfortable to you, but you're going to get your true comfort from Christ. So we thank you for that. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. That's everyone. We thank you. We love you. We're going to hang up. Call back at 845. Hit 1, get in the queue. And until next time, good night.